Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your preacher friend, J.O. Dunn, coming again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing before us but an open Bible, trusting that God will let these few minutes glorify Him as we bring to you the Word of God. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the sinner's substitute, our surety. Remember last Sunday morning we began speaking concerning the personality of the Holy Ghost. There is several schools of thought. They deny the Trinity. Some say there be three gods, one upon a throne, one on each side, and many other. But we like to take the Word of God and find out what God has said to us, and that which He has said of Himself, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. We read several passages of Scripture. One in particular, all Scripture is by inspiration of God, and it is given that we might reprove, rebuke, instruct and correct, admonish, warn in righteousness. We ask a question coming from the Scripture found in Genesis 1 and 26. Who was God talking to when He said, "Let us make man"? Let us make man. Who was God talking to? John 14. Do you have your Bible at hand? "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in Me, and I in you." Many speak of the Holy Spirit as a mere influence. We're brought under influences every day, and they change. Many times we might be influenced and follow through for a long time. But even in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow in knowledge and in grace, many times we are face to face with a change. So therefore, this one to remain with those that are His is more than an influence. "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Jesus said, "We will come. He that loveth Me not, keepeth not My sayings. And the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus made it very plain that there would be one come, sent from the Father, not replacing him, but coming to them as a comforter, as one that would remain with them until the end. God help us, beloved, as we look unto him, as we read God's precious word and look unto him, may he help us in these trying hours. So much false doctrine, so much deception, and so many seemingly desiring to enter the ministry that have not studied the scriptures. They do not have a clean cut testimony to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his second coming even, or his coming again. They do not give, or neither can they give, a scriptural testimony. Talking about the Holy Spirit now, and let us be mindful of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the author of eternal life. Let's not ignore that. He is the author of divine, eternal life. He is the testifier of Jesus Christ. God bless your heart. You ever have life everlasting, it'll come through by the power of the Holy Spirit. Quite often, someone speaks of the Spirit as being an attribute of God. But I would like to give the attributes of God. Solitariness. Knowledge, foreknowledge, supremacy, sovereignty, immutability, holiness, power, faithfulness, goodness, patience, grace, mercy, love, wrath, contemplation, the decrees of God. These are the attributes of God and not the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. Are you listening? He is a person. Now, I'd like to make a point here and bring some scriptures distinguishing him apart from an influence, or an attribute, or a quality. Acts 10 and 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Are you listening? Romans 15 and 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Does that make it clear that the Holy Spirit is more than an influence, more than an attribute? God forbid. Beloved, let's take a passage of Scripture and look at it a little bit. Turn, if you care to, with your Bible to Matthew
chapter 12 and verses 31 and 32, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Now will you listen carefully? "And whosoever speaketh a word against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now, will God hold someone that speaks against an influence or an attribute in greater judgment or condemnation than he would those that speak against himself or his Son, the Holy One of Israel, that knew no sin? Are you listening? Are you listening? My, my, my. We need to study God's precious Word. We need to realize that this is the day of deception. This is the day that false prophets robe themselves in religious garb and lead the multitudes to believe a lie that they all might be sent to hell together. O Lord God, help us in these hours. The Spirit of God is spoken of as a servant. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out from the Father, he shall testify of me." He come as a testifier, as a servant sent forth to witness. Would an influence come forth testifying of Jesus? Not so. Not so. John 16 and 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." I read in verse 14 where Jesus said of him, himself and the Father, "We will come unto you. We will come unto you." Not only is he a servant, he is one that goes forth speaking or has personal actions. "Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that ye speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." When they were to be brought before the rulers, the judges, in that day for witnessing unto the name of Jesus, Jesus said, "Don't you say a word. Don't even think what you're going to speak. The Holy Ghost will do the talking." Isn't that wonderful? I've been privileged to see the enemy of the gospel wither as the Word of God was spoken under the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak the truth, not railing, ranting, forceful, but prayerful, lovingly. The Word of God will have its effect. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Paul for the work whereunto I have called you." Again, Acts 21 and 11. I'm just giving you God's word tonight, today. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth his girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Again, in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Again in Revelation 2 and 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is the third person of the thrice holy God an influence, or is he a person? Not only does he present himself as a speaking personality or in action, likewise he is ascribed the title of the power of revealing, or has the power of revealing. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 26, And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Beloved, I long ago took my seat at the feet of the Word of God. The Holy Ghost revealed to Simeon that he should not see death. The Holy Spirit revealed that to him. He's a revealer. Spoken of as a witness in Acts 5 and verse 32, We are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Witnessing Spirit. Oh, thanks be unto God that we have with us God the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Does that rub your fur the wrong way? Does that cross the doctrine that you are being taught? Well, beloved, take your Bible and sit down and study. Find out for yourself. He's spoken of as having knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Beloved, are you going to listen to God, or would you listen rather to some man? I praise God for many men. God so used them to spread the word of God, to stir our hearts and our minds that we might seek after to know. And I shall never praise God for it. But, beloved, before I hear a man or take his word, I must know it's in the word of God. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, did the apostles perform the miracles. Spiritual life is ascribed unto him. In John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Beloved, I challenge you to weigh your profession of faith upon the teaching of God's Word. I don't care what you felt. I don't care what you felt, what you heard, or what you saw. But have you been quickened, made alive, and had revealed unto you your awful, sinful condition? I'm not talking about the sins you commit daily, the sins of the flesh that you practice, but the sin that you are. Thou art a putrefied, corrupt sower from the sole of your feet to the crown of your head. And the quickening Spirit of God reveals this to us. And we cry out, O Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. O Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. I don't care your profession of faith may have been made in the greatest cathedral is ever built, or the sanctuary that's the most beautiful in the world. But unless you've been brought to call on Jesus, oh, calling on Jesus from a broken and contrite heart because of sin, you don't know what we're talking about. You have not salvation. You've never been delivered from the great transgression until you've been broken at the feet of Jesus Christ and called upon God for mercy, and there you were resurrected. Amen. Unto life everlasting, because you were dead in trespasses and sin. Is that right? That's the Word of God. Yes, it is. He's one that he's not an office within himself, as I heard one try to proclaim him recently, but he's doing the office work of God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, he was sent forth by the Holy Ghost, the apostles were. The Holy Ghost sent them forth. On one occasion, the apostle Paul said he was determined to go, but the Holy Ghost refused to let him go. The Holy Ghost held him back. Brother, that wasn't the influence. That was restraining power, because Paul had a mind to go unto the uttermost. Spread the Word of God. He also designates offices for men here. As we're told in Acts 20, to take heed therefore unto ourselves, to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. You know the reason there's so much friction in the churches today, and between the pastors and the congregation and the pulpit committees and the board of deacons and stewards? Do you know? Well, I'm going to tell you. The Holy Ghost didn't put them there. Help us, O Lord. Spiritual life, designating office, sending forth, exercising his own pleasure. Acts 15 and 28, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but all these worketh the one, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Beloved, the Holy Ghost is dealing with us now. God finished his work, rested the seventh day, then sent forth the Son. He came and did the pleasure of the Father, went back to take the seat at the right hand of eternity with the reins in his hand, all authority and power ascribed unto him. And the Holy Spirit now is working. And if you are doing the bidding of God, you're doing it as the Spirit of God guides you, directs you, leads you in all righteousness. If he's not, possibly you might be as those of yesterday, rebelling against him, vexing him, as Isaiah 63 and 10 says, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Or you could be, as we find so many today, grieving the Spirit, wherein we're commanded to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Then you might be listening, as many call me, write me, and speak to me face to face, saying, preacher, listen to your broadcast, regular. You might be as they were stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, always resisting the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Now we're in one of those categories. We're under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're vexing and rebelling the Spirit, or we're grieving it, one or the other. Now we can't get away from that. We're one place or the other, or we are reprobate, turned over to the devil, hell-bound, just as sure as we're here. May God bless you. We covet your prayers. Appreciate you calling us. We love to talk with you. Write to us. Support this work some financially if you feel led of the Lord.